Great to be here again in Deming, and blessed, got to be a little part of some of the activities. Very much appreciate you guys, Pastor Caesar, and your willingness. You got a great pastor, you know that, right? Your willingness to reach the community. So lots of people have been bringing in food and helping out the situation with the migrants that are kind of displaced here. So whatever our views on that is, people need help. And so it's wonderful that God has touched our hearts to be able to do that. So I'm going to be talking about worship and praise. And immediately when I say worship and praise, we think music, right? And so that leaves out everybody who can't sing. So we're not going to talk about worship and praise as music. We're going to talk about it as a way of life. What is worship and what is praise? And I believe in a lifestyle. I'm 46 years old in Christ, and I have a lifestyle of worship and praise. Now, I used to think that I was created to worship God. I even wrote a song one time. I was created to glorify you, to bring forth your praises. That's what I'll do. That's kind of true. And then I was created to worship you. I've discovered that I was not created to worship God. I was created to be loved by God. Actually, I was born to be loved by God. And I've discovered in my growing years of knowing God that worship is a response to God's love. And God does not need me to worship Him. So we're going to actually have some power points here, and we're going to see if there's power in each of this. And this is based on a book that I've written on worship and praise, and I have a few of these that I brought with me. So at the end, we'll kind of mention that. But in this worship and praise, we were not simply born for spiritual ministry. We think of worship and praise. We just did this thing we came and we did some worship. Okay, well, that's nice. We did some worship. And that's nice. We come on a Friday night and we do some worship. But what about all the other minutes in the day? What about all the seconds in the day? What about tonight when we go to sleep? And so I don't think that worship is about spiritual ministry. We were born to live our lives in an intimate relationship with God. And so I said, the older I get, the more I understand this worship thing. And it's because the older I get, the more vulnerable, intimate, connected to God I become. And I discovered that you don't need to know what you're doing. You just need to be loved. Now, my wife and I, we've been married 42 years. This next week on Wednesday, we are going to be celebrating our 42nd anniversary. And I have a little testimony because, you know, I lost all that weight years ago. And when I was here in January, I lost my wedding ring. And so I thought, oh, man, I lost my ring. So I was getting ready to buy a new ring. And so my wife and I were looking the other day because our anniversary is coming up. And I was thinking about buying a ring, and I didn't see anything. And this is not really an expensive ring, but it's been a ring that really works well. I actually found it. You know where it was? It was in my bag that I had when I came to Deming last. I haven't used that bag since January. So look at my wife and I are married again. But my wife and I, the older we get, the more we grow in love with one another. Our love was strong when we got married, but our love is I would say it's deeper. It's deeper. It's more expensive. It's got memories in our love, and you know, God and us is that way. We have memories in our relationship with God. I hope you are creating memories in your relationship with God. And so worship is about a relationship with Him. So worshiping God is the fruit of knowing Him. Now, I haven't said anything about music yet. I'm talking about worship. Worship is a response to God's love. It's just like I've got grandchildren. You always hear about my grandkids because they teach me about worship too. I was with my grandson in Vegas in between the last time I was here and this time, and I sleep on an air mattress with him. He likes to buddy up with me, and in the morning he rubs his hand on my my cheek and then on my chin and then on the back of my head and then on the top of my head. And he says, Gopa, you're scratchy, pokey, soft, and hard. You know, I want to know God like that. I want to know that God is scratchy, pokey, soft, and hard, but he's the one who loves me. See, my grandson knows that his grandpa is scratchy, pokey, soft, and hard, but that's his grandpa. He asked me, he says, Gopa, when I grow up and have children, are you going to be their grandpa? And I said, well, actually, I'll be their great grandpa. And he looks at me and he says, Gopa, you are a great grandpa. Now, that's called a love relationship. And he follows me around like a shadow. So in a sense, he wants to be like grandpa. He wants to be like his Gopa. So that's a response. We would call that worship. Now, we don't worship human beings, but that little illustration is a close expression of what we should be like with God. We should say, God, I want to be like you when I grow up. I want to know you. You see, he's a father. I want to be like my father when I grow up. I want to be like him in my being and how I am. We can say that character, nature, way, power, authority, but that's kind of clinical. So I want to be like him. And God wants that kind of a relationship with us. He wants us to know that way. He doesn't want us to be religious. He doesn't want us to be distant. Yeah, he's powerful, but he loves us. We sang the song here tonight about Jesus and his love for us and the cross. His love for us is unshakable. Is unshakable so much that he was willing to take the cross when we shouted, crucify him. I've discovered there's only one thing that doesn't shake in life, and that's love. I know that as a dad, as a husband, as a grandpa. I'm learning that that's the one thing that doesn't shake. Things can turn out different than you thought, but love can't be shaken. True love. True love. So I want to know true love with God. I want to worship him as a fruit of my relationship with him. God, I want that. So God, would you bless us with that in our relationship with you, that we would know this fruit called worship. So it's a response to who he is, and it's both intimate and passionate. Should be 7 days a week, should be 24 hours a day. Now, we're going to get into what happens when we worship. Because God, he put it in us. Matter of fact, in the Ten Commandments, one of those commandments was, you shall worship God only. Don't make any carved image. Don't worship any created thing, but worship God only. I said that in words that we can understand. I didn't say that in quoting word for word the commandment. I said, God said, you shall not worship any carved thing, any created thing, worship me only. Now, he didn't say that because he needs us to worship him. He said that because we need to worship the one who made us. Because his world doesn't change when we worship him, but our world does. What changes? Our attitude changes. Our thought process changes. Our imagination changes. Our day changes. Our family changes. Our workplace changes. Matter of fact, in Scripture, you'll find out that when people worshiped God, sometimes they had to change the name of the place. Our day is determined by who's in our day. Now, God is always present, but we're not always aware. We don't always turn in his direction. We've used the illustration before that the sun rises. I've said that here before because I say it all the time. And this morning we had a wonderful sunrise in Deming, New Mexico. But technically it was wonderful earth rotation. The sun did not rise. Deming turned toward the sun. And the response was light. So God is like that. When we turn toward him, the response is light. We turn toward him. The response is worship. The response is love. Worship is a love for the one who loved you. He loves us. And so when I get a revelation of his love, I can't help but worship him. When I get a revelation of your love, God, I can't help but worship you. Would you do that tonight? Would you do that, God? Would you help us get a revelation of your love? See, he likes that. He likes that. I get a revelation of your love. I can't help but worship you. Don't let me get so old that I forget to let you love me. And don't let me be so young. I don't let you love me. Don't let me be so distracted. Don't let me be so caught up in stuff. You know, when it's all said and done, this life is a short span. Eternity is to know God. Eternal life is to know God, your Father, and Jesus Christ, the Son. That's already on. Eternal life is already on. Eternal life is already going. It's like somebody asked my oldest granddaughter when she was little. She put a spring dress on and it was a little cloudy day. But I live in a land where we have a lot of cloudy days. In Washington State, we get a lot of cloudy days. And one of my students went to her and said, "Oh, are you hoping the sun comes out today?" And she said, "The sun is on." Like, what's wrong with this woman? She's saying, is the sun going to come out today? Have you looked out? It's light. The sun is on. Okay, you know, we should be like that with God. The sun is on. Eternal life is on. I'm not waiting to die for eternal life. I already have eternal life, which means I cannot die. I cannot die. You cannot die. And if you physically die, you know, it's like that movie. What is that one where the guy was... Was he totally dead, really dead? It was the prince and the... Princess Bride. That's it. How dead is he? Oh, really dead. Well, how alive are we? How alive are we? Really alive. Really alive. Okay? So, worship is this response to who he is. It's both intimate and passionate. Now, the more we experience who God is, the more we respond to who he is. The more we experience who God is, the more we respond to is this is worship. So we can't come to a service and say, let's do some worship songs, which we get in the habit of doing. We come and we do the worship songs. Now, I love worship songs because here's the deal. God delights in your heart, but your heart delights in music. God doesn't delight in music. He has no preference of music. But you do. And he has a preference. His preference is he delights in you. He delights in every human being. And since he delights in every human being, he likes all music. It's just like he likes to hunt because he knows I like to hunt. Oh, I worship God a lot out there when I'm hunting. Oh, we see, sir. Come on. I've had some wonderful experiences with God in the forest. So, hearts. So music opens our hearts. But can you imagine if we get a lifestyle, if all of us grow in a lifestyle 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, of getting to know who he is in such a way that we can't help but respond to him in love. And then when we come together on a Friday night or a Saturday morning or a Sunday or sometime to open our hearts in music, music opens our heart, but we open it in a way that we already come. We already have come responding to his love, and then we get a couple of hundred people in a room who are already responding to his love. Can you imagine? What about if we don't just do it in a room, but let's say we get a couple hundred of us in the city of Deming all day long, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, just responding to his love in good moments and bad moments. We get it, the more we grow in a revelation of his love and we're responding to his love, what's going to happen to the city of Deming? What's going to happen to the thought patterns of Deming? what's going to happen to the atmosphere of Deming? I mean, the earth turns toward the sun, and what happens? Light comes on. What happens when we start being a people of worship, not as an act, but a response to his love? So, God, I'm going to let you love me. God, I'm going to let you love me. I'm letting you love me. You said if I have an ear, I should let, I should, you said just let the one who has an ear hear. So I'm going to let you love me. And when I let you love me, I'm going to respond with worship. My grandson's easy on this one. I said to him, Caden, I love you to the top of outer space. I come back and I go around the earth and I give you a giant squeezy hug. He says, Gopa, I love you to the top of outer space. I come back, I go across the earth, go across the ocean, through a special bridge, through a shark's guts, out his mouth, around the other side, and I give you four giant squeezy hugs. Now that is love. Anything that goes through a shark's guts and out his mouth, that is love right there. Now, I'm using those little illustrations because our relationship with God should be that real. We don't. He's not religious. Now, he loves us so much, he humors us in our religion. You know, I can imagine he's looking at us and we come and we show up to worship him and we act religious. It's like, you know, watch kids. They act grown up. And we don't condemn them for it. We laugh, right? I wonder if God laughs at our religiosity. Because we're trying. He's not condemning us for it. He's just saying, wow, that's, and maybe he even say, well, that's cute. But after a while, maybe it's not cute anymore. Because after a while, we fall in love with religion more than we fall in love with him. Right? So we should grow in our relationship with God. Now, so I've said the more we experience God in our lives, the more we respond to him. That's called worship. But the more we experience who God is, the more we declare who he is. That's praise. Now, I'm going to give you a difference between Old Covenant and New Covenant. In the Old Covenant was a time when human beings were longing for the new covenant. Now, during that time, it was a covenant of information. We chose that when we chose the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, track with me a moment. Don't think just your lifetime. Think history of humanity. Let's suppose that God is able, from the very beginning, to make a way for people to go to heaven when they die. But his real desire has always been to bring heaven into the earth. Seems to me Jesus said something like that. When you pray, pray our Father in heaven. He said, don't do this vain repetitiously. So we should say, Papa, Abba, our Father. Our Father. Come on. Our Father. Our Father. As they say in Portugal, Nosh Pai, our Father, right? We have a Father. We have a Father. See, we can say it anyway, but we have a Father. He loves us. I have a Daddy. I have a Heavenly Father. We have a Heavenly Father who loves us. We don't have a God who's taking anything from us. We have a Father who loves us. We'll see in a moment, there's a scripture in Acts. I've always say it. I say it every time I preach anywhere on the planet for years. Acts 17. The most confused of all people were people who had thousands of gods, the Greeks. But God didn't condemn them for their thousands of gods. He sent Paul to them, and Paul said this to them. I was up on your place of worship, and I perceive that you're very religious. I know it's true. I was up there on your place of worship among your gods. And up there I found my God among your gods. He's the one that you have that sign that says to the unknown God. The one you haven't been able to figure out. Your own poets have said this. He's the Father of all flesh. In him we live and move and have our being. God is not a God who's worshiped with things made by human hands. In times past, he overlooked the ignorance of people who made things out of wood and stone and groped to find him. He said he overlooked that. But now he's commanding people everywhere to repent. But what is repent? See, repentance is not you're bad, now you should be good. No, repentance is you were dead. You should be alive. The reason he commands people everywhere now to repent is it's possible for people to come alive. How? Christ in me makes me come alive, makes my heart come alive. Did you do that? Did you say, Jesus, come into my heart? Did he make you come alive? Did you remind yourself today of that? That Jesus is in you? That life lives in you? God lives in you? I like to do this every now and then, just to remind myself that God lives in me. I can't get away from him. When I'm in the shower, he's in the shower. I do my morning run. He's on my morning run. I drive my car, my truck. He's in my truck. Wherever I am, that's where he is. He never leaves me. Not just theologically, but intimately. He never leaves me. He's always with me. And so he wants me to have this living relationship. So the repentance is to come alive. Now, in that case, in Acts 17, Paul said, God does not need anything from any of us. He said, he gives life, he gives breath, and he gives all things. We've said this verse every time we come, I think. Because I always say it. Because he's a giver, he's not a taker. Your Father is a giver, not a taker. Which means he's causing us to become givers and not takers. You have to be pretty secure. Secure in your identity to be a giver, not a taker. You got to be secure in your testimony to be a giver, not a taker. You know, you have to be secure in all things to be a giver and not a taker. He's pretty secure. When he's asked, who do we say you are? He says, I am. We like to say, I am. No, he just said, I am. Wouldn't it stand to reason that a father who's an I am would have children who are I am? I am. What do you think? We get a revelation that life is about I am. I am. Seems to me babies have that figured out right off. They come into this world and they let you know I am. You can hear them. They make noise. Matter of fact, little babies make noise all night to let you know I am. Now, they have needs, but they're making sure that you know they're there, right? And then when they start growing, they get a little older, they expect you to be excited when they walk in the room, children. They have a revelation of I am. It takes a little while before they get confused on their identity. So we need to become childlike and not be confused on our identity. So God doesn't need anything from us. He doesn't need us to worship him. So now in the old covenant, the concept was he needed something. So worship and praise, you would praise to worship. I'll enter his gates with praise, and then we come and we worship him. We've had that pattern. Haven't we had that pattern in the church? We praise him so that we can worship him. Now, we're saying worship is not just music, it's a lifestyle. Praise is the testimony of that lifestyle made known to the world. Now, in the old covenant, you would praise to worship. I'm going to reverse that in the new covenant. I'm going to say, you worship to become praise. Now, if I say praise God, you might go, praise God. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise your name. We praise your name. We praise your name. And that's kind of praising him. But it's also something like being a parrot. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. Oh, God, you're wonderful. You liberated my heart. You set me free, and now I know that I can be. I'm the one that was born to be loved by you. And I'm so glad to be alive. I'm glad to be a husband, glad to be a father, glad to be a grandpa. I'm glad to be a man. Oh, God, I bless your name. I was born for such a time as this. I was born for such a time as this. This is my life, and I will rejoice in every day. I was born for such a time as this. I'm pretty confident. That's praise. I make a great me and a terrible you. You make a great you and a terrible me. Now, 7 days a week, the more I respond to his love, the more I become worship. Oh, God, you're good. Oh, God, you're good. I love that he even gives us the opportunity to worship him in ways that go beyond the expression we had before, like, ha, shikara maturi, kiza, taruko, teninibasa. God, I love you. Thank you, God. Have you had an ambush moment? Where he comes, he just ambushes you. And you feel his love. And you know that he loves you. And you know that you're special to him. And you feel that. And something comes out of your heart. That's worship. I'm special to you, God. I'm saying this on your behalf. I want this lifestyle, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God, for who you are. I love you, God. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for loving me. I invite you into my life. Thank you, God. I think worship can even be like this. Good morning. Have you ever thought about this with God, saying to God, you doing all right today? Now, I know he's doing all right because he doesn't need anything, right? But maybe, what are you thinking about, God? What are you thinking about today? God, I have my day all planned, but what are you thinking of? What's your plan today? Do you want to adjust anything that I'm thinking? Or shall we go with what's in my heart? I've got some things on my mind today, some things in my heart. Is that where we want to go? Or do you have something else in your heart? God, maybe I'm moving a little fast. What do you want today? What do you see? What do you see? See, I believe that letting him in that space of my life is the reality of worship. The more I do that as a lifestyle, the more I can do that in songs. The more we can say, how great are you, God? Sing with me, how great are you, God? How great, how great you are, God. Now, I changed the words there a little bit. I like to do that. I like to flip pronouns sometimes because if I'm talking to him, I want to talk to him. Okay? Now, I love it that when I sing, my heart opens up more but it does it more if it's a lifestyle. So worship and praise is not limited to people who can sing. If you can't sing, you can make a noise, right? Yeah? I mean, how many of you might be brave? Is there anybody who can't carry a tune but likes to try? Anybody? Yeah? Good, cool, wonderful, awesome. Singing is nice. Okay? It does. You know, there's all kinds of birds. There's birds, you go outside, there's birds that sound really good. And then there's other birds, they just sound loud. But, you know, they have something in common. They all fly. They all fly. And they all live bird lives. They're all heavenly creatures. They all do bird stuff. I go over to Caesar's gazebo out in the back there. We sit out there. Man, he's got birds of all kinds coming there. Some birds, they sing really nice. Other birds just make a lot of noise. But they all sing. And you know what's great is they make a noise because they're birds. They're happy to be birds. Okay? Are you happy to be a child of God? Happy to be a child of God is to open up your heart. And it's not limited to those who can do music. Music helps. In fact, you turn on the radio, you play some tunes, you want to sing along. In the car by yourself, if you can't carry a tune and the song is on the radio or on your MP3 player, whatever, I'll guarantee you sing nice and loud and you don't care if it, in your mind, it matches perfectly, right? I know it's true because I watched some of those tryouts. People can't sing, but they think they can. So that's cool. Now, the more we have people who can sing that help us who can't sing, then we can all sing. We can all be birds of a feather who flock together. And we can open up our hearts. We can learn a lesson from the birds. There's a diversity of birds. I have bird feeders in my yard, and I get all kinds of birds. And they make all kinds of noise. Now, worship is also a feast and a celebration of God's presence and life. So worship is a feast and a celebration of God's presence in our lives. Now, we kind of think of praise as a feast. I think worship is a feast. Worship is a feast and a celebration of God's presence in our lives. Matter of fact, in the Old Testament, they built a temple. Now, why did they build a temple? Why did they want a temple? Because what? To worship God. What does a temple have to do with that? Congregate in a temple? Does God live in a temple? Well, in a sense, he does, but not that temple. He doesn't live in a temple made with human hands, but they made a temple with human hands because they knew he wanted to live with them. They wanted him to live with them. So the temple is, we want your presence, God. We built a temple, we want your presence, God, right? Now, God says, you're the temple that he's always wanted to live in. Now, when they were rebuilding the temple under Ezra and Nehemiah, the temple construction stopped. And to get it going again, they had to get two prophets. Now, I define prophecy as God speaks, life happens. If you could get God to speak, life would happen. So the temple construction quit. It wasn't continuing. And so to get it to go again, they got God to speak. And then life happened. The temple was built. And they got these two prophets, Zechariah and Haggai. They said, Haggai, and he came. No, that guy. Zechariah and Haggai. Now, Zechariah means to remember God, and Haggai means feast. If you put God in your mind and feast in his presence, you'll have an experience of worship. If you put you in your mind and you don't feast, no temple. You put God in your mind. If the temple stops, put God in your mind. Now, I'm not talking about Sunday. I'm talking about Wednesday at 3:01 in the afternoon. No, 11:01 in the morning on Wednesday. It's hump day, but you haven't quite made the hump yet, right? I'm talking about then. I'm talking about in maybe your worst moment of the week, your worst time. It's easy to worship God when all looks well. But what about when it doesn't look well? You know, when things don't look well, is God well? When things aren't going quite right, does God love you? Is God there? Okay, so we need to position ourselves. And so worship is a feast and a celebration of God's presence and life. Praise is a declaration of the goodness and the mercy of God to the world. Let's define the world, your world. Praise is a declaration. Now, praise doesn't necessarily need words. Okay, praise is a countenance. Praise is a dance. Praise is an attitude. Praise is something of you that's an expression to your world. Worship is a response to God in your world. Praise is a declaration of that to your world. Worship is a response to God's love. Praise is a declaration because of that to your world. Praise knocks the teeth of the enemy out. Praise is intended to change your world, but it happens because of worship. In the old covenant, they would praise to get into worship. What happens when you live in and from the throne room? Praise got you into the throne room, but what about in the new covenant if you always, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, live in and from the throne room? What if the throne room is your heart? It's not some place you find on Sunday. It's your heart. God lives in you. You are the habitation of God. You're like David's tent. You're not like the tabernacle of witness. You're like David's tent. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, songs are being sung, and the word is being heard inside of you. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, songs are being sung, and the word is being spoken. Now, songs were being sung in David's tent so that the word would become catchy. They sang songs not just so you'd be happy, but so that you would know, you would have God in your mind, remember, and you would feast in God. They spoke poems. Why? So that you would have, remember God, and you would feast in his presence. They wrote some new ones. They spoke some words 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. So today there are certain ministries that do that. They've got, you know, 7 day prayer and all that's great. But you know what? I think that we should do that as a lifestyle. We always want to make a ministry out of something. And ministries are okay, but they're even better when we have the lifestyle of what that ministry talks about. Now, so this praise is a declaration. In Jeremiah chapter 33. Now, Jeremiah, he's the same guy that in Jeremiah 31, he said that the new covenant would be where God writes his law on our hearts and our minds. Not Torah law, but the law of love on our hearts and minds. So the prophet Jeremiah was speaking into the future of a new covenant day. In Jeremiah 33, he's doing the same. So here's what he says. Thus says the Lord, again there shall be heard in this place of which you say it is desolate and without man and without beast. In the cities of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem, that are desolate without man, without habitation of beast. Now let me translate some words here. Jerusalem means vision of peace. God has always had it in his heart that every human being would have a vision of peace. Every human being, not just Jews in the Middle East. He's always had in his heart that every son and daughter of his would recognize that there's never a gap, never a separation between heaven and earth. Never a separation between them and God. And so peace is not the absence of conflict. Peace is shalom. Peace is everything that is abundant and good in heaven, connected to you. There's a vision of peace. Matter of fact, the Jerusalem from above is intended to come into our lives and fill our lives with as it is in heaven. His kingdom coming, his will being done on earth. So Jerusalem is a vision of peace. So Jeremiah is speaking not just of Jerusalem in the Middle East. He's speaking of Jerusalem as the reality of what Jerusalem is. That every human being would have a vision of there's never a separation between me and God. There's never a banning of access to God's refrigerator. There's never a lock on the door. There's never a closed door to the pantry. There's never a closed door to the wardrobe. There's never a closed door to the provisions and the abundance. Everything that is in God's house, you have access to God's house. You have a vision of peace. Not the absence of conflict, a vision of shalom. Abundance, healing, prosperity of all kinds. Spirit, soul, body. Okay? So now, if you ever felt like you're in a world that's desolate, you're all alone, and sometimes there's not even a beast. Okay, desolate without man, without beast. That's called nothing, nothing, nothing. That's a world that needs life, breath, and all things. Okay? Sometimes we come to those places. You might be there right now in some measure. You have something in your life tonight that is desolate. That there's no man. Well, there's you, but right now you don't even feel like a man. So there's no man. No man, no woman, whatever. And there's not even a beast, not a dog, not a cat, not a cow, nothing living. A man, this is a spot. Okay? Now, it says that in this spot, in the cities of Judah, what does Judah mean? Anybody know? Praise. Okay? So in the cities of praise, in the cities of expression that changes the world, of praise, and in the streets of Jerusalem, in the streets of God's community, there's no gap between me and God. I got a vision of peace. That are desolate without man and without infant. Then it goes on and says, the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of those will say, man, look at that. In this desolate place, all of a sudden, gladness. Oh, joy, gladness, bridegroom, bride. That sounds pretty good. Joy, there's nothing religious here. Joy, gladness, bridegroom, bride. It's a place of intimacy. It's a place of celebration. And the voice of those will say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord, look at this, the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. The Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. This is the sound of worship. This is the sound of praise. The Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. I'm not talking just Sunday. I'm talking 7 days a week. Okay, I want this in my DNA. I want to wake up every day, no matter what country I'm in. The Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. The Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. And I've got the sound of joy and gladness and the bride and the bridegroom. Woo, he loves me. I was born to be loved by you, wasn't it? Look at, he likes that. See, he loves me. Look at, he loves me. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. He loves you. Come on. The Lord is good. Look at there. He loves me. He lives here. He lives right here. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. The Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Can you imagine if on a Sunday morning we all come, let's fill this place up with people who have a lifestyle of the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Oh, the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. And then you see somebody that, you know, that's, their face is a little twisted this morning. You know what I'm saying? And but you have this, the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. And there's joy and gladness and the bride and the bridegroom. Whoo, man, there's lots of forgiveness, lots of mercy, lots of grace in this ambiance. This is a great restaurant. Of those who are who will bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, for I will cause the captives of the land to return as at the first, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in this place which is desolate, without man and without beast. So thus says the Lord, in this place of my life right now, that seems a little bleak, that seems a little dusty. And in all its cities there shall again be a dwelling place of shepherds, causing their flock to lie down in the cities of the mountains, in the cities of the lowlands, in the cities of the south, in the land of Benjamin, in the places around Jerusalem, in the cities of Judah. The flock shall again pass under the hand of him who counts them. In other words, there's safety, there's protection, you're accounted for, you're not lost. This is a great scripture describing a way of life, describing my life, your life, not just people in the Middle East, let's include them too, but all people, human beings, sons and daughters of God. Come on, ha, sons and daughters of God. I'm a child of God. We can sing it many ways. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Come on. I'm a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears are drowned in perfect love. Come on, how's it go? La da 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 da. I'll make up the words because I don't know, but I am a child of God. So true worship of God is an antidote to desolation and death. Come on, true worship of God is an antidote to desolation and death. Any little measure of desolation and death. What do you think, Lily? Come on. Any little measure of desolation and death. Worship is the antidote. If you get bit by a snake, you need the antidote if it's a poison snake, right? You need the antidote to any poison. The antidote is worship. But worship is a response to what? His love. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. It is the sound and substance of heaven made known in the earth. And the sound of worship is heard as the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. The voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. I mean, have you been to a wedding that was, I mean, maybe you have. I've never been to a miserable wedding. I mean, there probably is one or two, but I've never been to a miserable wedding, you know. And they seem to be pretty happy places, weddings. Yeah? So the bridegroom and the bride, that's as happy as it can get, you know. I mean, it's fun to go to a wedding that just, my daughter's wedding, her husband, that was a fun wedding. That was a really fun one. It was just like, wow. And they're still that way. They've been married almost 3 years now, and they're still on their honeymoon. They came to Portugal with me for the first time. They never had been to Portugal before, so they came to Portugal, and now they want to move to Portugal. But anyway, that's it. So it's the voice of the bridegroom and the bride. My relationship with you, God, is that intimate. Like a bridegroom and a bride. It's not the testimony of a work of the Spirit. It's the testimony of love. Worship is not a task. It's a testimony of love. Now, I love it when we put it to music. That's great. But 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. My world is changing because he's in my world. So the sound of worship is the voice of God's greatness, God's goodness, and God's mercy. Jeremiah goes on to say that God is great, God is good, God is merciful. So in our lives, we should see him as great, as good, and is full of mercy. If the sound of worship isn't revealing a great God, a good God, and a merciful God, it's not responding to God. It's responding to something else. If the song of our lives, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, is not revealing a great God, a good God, a merciful God, then we're responding to the wrong voice. I'm going to wake up tomorrow and my life is going to reveal a great God. How about you? He's a great God. He's a great God. Nothing's impossible for him. Nothing. Nothing. He defeated the grave, for goodness sakes. Nothing is impossible for him. He's a good God. He's a good Father. He even moves into our bad decisions and works them out. He's a good God. He's a good God. Now, life is filled with plenty of things that are not good. But he's good. And he's merciful. I'm so glad because I do stupid things sometimes. Do you? Yeah. You see, when you pray, make sure you include in your prayer, Father, forgive me of my stupid moments exactly the same way I forgive those who have been stupid in my direction. You know me. God, I didn't intend to be stupid. I just am sometimes. So I'm sure they didn't intend to be stupid. They just ended up, that was really stupid what they did. I forgive them. I've been there. Huh? And God gets that. He's merciful. He's merciful. The Lord is good. He's full of mercy. He's great. So the sound of loving God is a response of worship and a sacrifice of praise. Now, a sacrifice of praise, if worship is a revelation of love, then a sacrifice of praise is not a suck on persimmon sacrifice. It's a, I decide to express his goodness even when I don't necessarily feel like it. So when we don't feel like it, we make a sacrifice of praise. It's an attitude we choose to have, an action we decide to take, an atmosphere we create. It's an attitude we decide to have. It's an action we decide to take. I'm going to be an expression of his life. It's an atmosphere that we create. As a grandpa, my grandchildren, when they were in diapers, if you asked them who do they want to change their diapers, do you know who they want to change their diapers? Now, they're not in diapers anymore, thank God. But when they were in diapers, they wanted grandpa to change their diapers. You know why? Because grandpa doesn't like changing diapers, but he creates an atmosphere where diaper changes are fun. That's how grandpa gets through it. So worship is a response to God's love, and praise is a declaration that we become. I'm just going to go a little bit more and then we're going to be done. But so some things that all of that is in the first chapter of my book. In the second chapter, I deal with a little further on this, and I've already mentioned some of these statements. I said that God does not need us to worship him. He doesn't need anything from us. He's the one who gives us life. He gives us breath. He gives us all things. So he doesn't need us. I've said that worship is the fruit of being loved by God. It's not an obligatory act. He's not obligated to do this act of worship. I'm not paying homage to some all-powerful being who demands love. You ever thought that way? I have. I've thought that way. He requires me to worship him because he's some demanding being. That's a wrong perspective of who God is. That's why Father is so important. Now, if Father is so important, do you think the enemy will try to damage the image of Father? It's family. God is a father. He wants worship is the response. It's a family thing. Worship and praise is a family thing. So I wonder if the enemy is going to try to damage family. The things that are attacked must be important in concerning revealing who God is. Now, God does not delight in music. We had music here. Ecclesiastes, the wisest guy apart from Jesus, Solomon, he said this in Ecclesiastes 2 verse 8. He said, I gathered for myself silver and gold and the special treasures of kings and of the provinces. I acquired male and female singers, the delights of the sons of men, and musical instruments of all kinds. Now, I believe this verse is revealing that music is a delight of people. Singers, men singers, women singers, instruments. Matter of fact, when the flood came, there were two Lamechs that were alive on the earth before the flood. One, I think, died before the flood. The other one died in the flood. One Lamech was a descendant of Cain, and the other Lamech was a descendant of Seth, which where Noah came from, because Lamech was Noah's father. But there was another Lamech who ended up being entrepreneurs and artists and musicians, and he sang the song of bitterness. But they did music, and they did inventions, and they did nothing wrong with music, nothing wrong with inventions, and nothing wrong with those things, but they died in a flood. Whereas Noah became the place that God rested. Okay? So music, even back in the day before the flood, was a delight of men. Now, I believe that God put that in us. It's interesting how music is arranged. So music is designed. Basically, a chord is if you get three notes set in fifths, every fifth note, you'll create a chord. Now, you add a few more notes to that, and you can create a fancy chord. But all you really need is three notes to get a chord. And if you put those notes three in fifths, you create this harmony that sounds good. If you don't arrange that right, it doesn't sound good. But if you create, so like if you're going to do chords that match, you take like a D, you add a G, okay? So you're adding chords that match, and it opens your heart up. A D, a G, and A, okay? That'll work. So it just opens up the heart. Now, if God is a Trinity, isn't it interesting that music notes are put together with these three sounds? And God's a Trinity. He's in harmony, and five's the number of grace. I kind of like this stuff, and I think music's designed to work for God. It isn't created by the devil. And it is the delight of men, and God knows that. So worship isn't music, but music is probably one of the most powerful tools for worship. Music can open the hearts of men and women, but it is the hearts of men and women that God desires. It's not music. God does not delight in music. He delights in hearts. Matter of fact, this is the scripture I'm going to end with. But here's the scripture in John 4, verse 19. When Jesus came to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well, and he said to her, go get your husband. And she said, I don't have a husband. And she said, he says, you said right, because the guy you're with now, he's not your husband. You've had five, and the guy you're with now, he's not your husband. And what Jesus was really saying is, girl, you've been looking for love in all the wrong place. You've had five major disappointments, and the guy who's with you now has no clue who you are. And then she asked about worship. She said, you Jews, you say you worship over there. We say we worship over here. Where do we worship? And he said to her, the time is coming, and the time is that those who worship God will worship him in spirit and truth. In verses 22, you worship what you do not know. We worship what we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews, but the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Now, two words in this. That word worship, it means to come like a dog licking. Any dog lovers? Okay, I've asked this before here. Okay, dog lovers, you relate to this. Non-dog lovers, okay, I'm a dog liker, not a dog lover. Okay, now a dog lover doesn't worry about a dog that comes licking because they know what it means. It means that dog expects to be loved. Okay, that's exactly what it means. To worship means to come like a dog licking. Aren't you glad to see me? I was born to be loved by you. Tail wags, you know? Okay, the non-dog lovers are thinking, what did that dog lick last? But the dog lover's not even thinking about that. God's not thinking about that. God's thinking, I want you to come to me like that. But then it says, the Father seeks. That word seek means to get down on his knees and give everything that he has. God wants to get on his knees. He wants to get down in your world. He wants to enter your life and give you everything he has. Worship is about God being able to get into your life and give you everything he has. Worship is about you coming, expecting to be loved, and then God loving you. That's worshiping in spirit and truth. Now, that is an open heart. Now, when we come tomorrow morning, we'll do some worship, yeah, in music. So we'll add some human tones to it. Okay? But this is not music. This is a way of life. Can you wake up tomorrow morning like a dog licking? Expecting to be loved by God. Could we get a lifestyle that is like a dog licking? Not being anybody else, because it's spirit and truth. Spirit and truth. Truth, the word, listen to me now. Scripture is truth, but it's a shadow of what's real. The Word became flesh, moved into the neighborhood. Jesus was the Word. Scripture was the testimony of him. Can you believe that? That Jesus in flesh is the true interpretation of written Scripture. Written Scripture doesn't interpret Jesus. Jesus interprets written Scripture. Without Jesus, we can take written Scripture and interpret it wrongly with exactly the right words. Because Jesus is the Word made flesh. And Scripture testified of him. Jesus said, you search the Scriptures thinking that in them is salvation. But let me tell you the truth. The Scriptures testify of me. Jesus said that in John 5. So the Word, Jesus then is truth. The word is truth, but it's only informational truth. Now, the word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. That was the testimony of praise made real. And Jesus in the flesh silenced every enemy, destroyed every work of the devil. The word became flesh so that all flesh could become word, an expression of God. The brightness of the Father's glory and the express image of his person, truth. God wants you and I to be truth. And he doesn't want you to be a pretender. He wants you to be truth. And he knows that his work in your life, in my life, is going to cause us to be more truth tomorrow than we are today. And those who worship him in spirit and truth. He doesn't expect you to be what you are not yet. He just expects you to come like a dog licking as you are. And then he gets into your world and he gives you everything that he has and causes you to become what you could not be before. That's praise. So I'm going to pray because I want this lifestyle to come to us. And so when we do it in song, can you pop up on the keyboard a moment? When we do it in song, it becomes something that's corporate and wonderful. But this should be 7 days a week. So, Father, I don't want anyone here having a lonely bed tonight. I don't want anyone here being stuck without hope. I know that there are desolate places. I know that there are places that need your life. I know that there are places in hearts here tonight that need a revelation of you. But you are our Father and you're in our life. And when you come, you've come looking for those who worship you in spirit and truth. The time is. This has been a real deal for quite a while. God, I want us to grow in this, that we grow in understanding of being sons and daughters with an attitude like little children and also an expectation like growing children. And even a hope of becoming like you as a dad or a mom. You didn't come to make religious human beings. You came to make human beings. That's where you live. Your Father. We're sons and daughters, inheritors of your name. Lord, you put us in this earth not to do works of ministry, but to minister with works. Because we know who we are. It's not works of ministry that qualify us. It's who we are that qualify us to do works that minister. We want to be life givers. We want Deming, New Mexico to have all the hope that you are here to give. And so we want to be light. We want to be healing. We say yes to you, Lord. We say yes to you, Lord. We say yes to you. We say yes to you. We're going to let you love us, Lord. Gonna let you love us, God, 'cause we were born to be loved by you. We were born to be loved by you. We're gonna wake up tomorrow, gonna look for your light, because we know you love us, God. We know you love us, God. Father, we're expecting every chain to be broken. We're expecting liberty. We're expecting liberty. We're expecting a sunrise. We're expecting the light to shine because you love us, God. You love us, God. Even tonight, Lord, let your presence fill our rooms. Let your presence fill our hearts. Let your presence fill our thoughts. We want to know you more. We make room for you. We make room for you. We come expecting. We come expecting. Because you're good. Oh, you're good. You're very, very good. You are good. You are good. You are very, very good. You are good. You are good. You are very, very good. You're good, Lord. Oh, yes, you are. Oh, the Lord is good. My God is good. My God is good. He's my Father. His mercy is new every day. Even when I make mistakes, He has to say to me, I love you. Oh, I love you. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Lord, I ask that our dreams would be filled with worship, response to your love. Would you give us a revelation of your love even while we sleep? We've worried long enough. Help us, Lord, to remember you, that our minds, our thoughts would be filled with you in all things, and that we would feast, 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 feast. We've done enough fasting of abstinence. Now let us do fasting to abundant indulgence in you. Let us only forsake the things of the flesh so that we can indulge in the things of the Spirit. Lord, fill us with life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Put your hand on somebody or on yourself or both. Oh, Lord, would you release life here? We just speak life. We speak life. Heal bodies, heal minds. Flood, flood, flood with life. You said you wouldn't remove or destroy all flesh again. You said you had a better covenant. Your Holy Spirit is here. Your sevenfold Spirit of grace is here. You've come to transform us. You've come to cleanse us, to be like a refiner's fire inside of us and a fuller's soap on the outside, so that we don't have any stains of shame, no pains of death, but that we're transformed inside and out by Father's love. And it'll be evident because there's an increasing knowledge that we have a Father, that we are sons and daughters, and that's the testimony of praise that'll go out to our neighborhoods, that there is a Father who loves, and there's a Father who redeems, there's a Father who restores. Thank you, God. We bless you. We praise you. Pray that this same reality will come to those who couldn't be here tonight. There's lots of family members that we have, loved ones that we have. We pray for our families right now. We pray for this church family, City Life Church. Pray for all of its members. Pray that you'll touch them and let them have a lifestyle of worship and praise, that they'll respond to your love with worship. They'll become a declaration of your praise. I ask, God, that this would become a way of life here. Increasingly, increasingly. I think it's the season for the Spirit of the grace of the Spirit of knowing, intimacy, to bring this to pass. Come on. God, the earth needs some healing. Our world needs some healing. You've called us to be bread, to be life, to be expressions of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.